have a cough drop today. So if you hear me kind of clunking around with a cough drop, we're in Mark chapter 1. Is it on? Is some heat? So we were able to get some heat going, so hopefully you'll be able to take your parkas off in a couple of minutes. We can start a fire, maybe. We're at the end of chapter 1, a really good story today. We'll pick it up in verse 40. We'll finish chapter 1 today, and then we'll begin chapter 2 tomorrow, or next Sunday. Here, read with me, Mark chapter 1, verse 40. Now a leper came to him, Jesus, imploring him, kneeling down to him, and saying to him, "If you are willing, you can make me clean." Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him, and said to him, "I am willing, be cleansed." As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. And he was strictly warned, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once and said to him, "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priests, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses commanded as a testimony to them." However, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the matter, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city, but was outside in deserted places, and they came to him from every direction. So there's a lot to speak about when you see the word at the beginning of verse 40, a leper. Any of us ever been around a leper or seen a leper? None of you have? You seen a leper? Oh yeah, that's right. We don't see it today. But back in the day, in the ancient world, those two words, a leper, would have produced an immediate impact in the listeners who read this gospel. One would be compassion and sorrow, more sorrow for the person who had leprosy. But mixed with sorrow would have been another emotion, a very powerful emotion, and that would have been tremendous fear. The reason, because leprosy was a horrific disease, and it was one of the most feared, if not the most feared disease in the ancient world. Today it's called Hansen's disease, named after a guy 100 years ago or so who discovered the bacteria that produces leprosy. And it's only been within the last 60 years that they've been able to cure the disease. But it takes many drugs and many years of taking the drug in order to rid the person of leprosy. Today, over 15 million people in the world have leprosy, mostly in third world countries. So given what we know about leprosy, we can almost put together this man's history from the time that he contacted the disease all the way up to verse 40 when he comes before Jesus. And because the disease had many stages, and it would happen over a number of years. When he first contacted the disease, he would have began to feel real tired for no particular reason. And then his joints would have begun to ache and become painful. Now, before everyone over the age of 40 in here self-diagnoses themselves as being a leper, there's a bit more to it than that. I have leprosy. I got double. But one day, the dude would have noticed little white sores breaking out on his body, most predominantly on his back. But they wouldn't go away. Eventually, those sores would turn pink, and then they would turn a real dark brown. And his skin would begin to thicken, and lumps would begin to appear, mostly on his face, and on his lips, in the folds of his face, but definitely on his forehead. These big old lumps would come, and they would lose his eyebrows, and his hair would turn a white. Well, we got a candidate. you don't have any lumps. But his face would transform real big and kind of hideous because of all the lumps. As those lumps would grow larger, they would ultimately ulcerate, and it would produce a really, really bad smell. The disease would begin to attack his eyes, and his tear ducts wouldn't be able to produce tears, so his eyes wouldn't be able to water, and so most lepers would become blind. This guy isn't blind, so he's been able to not have that issue as he's gone through his life. It would typically, and always, the leprosy would attack the nervous system. And because this kind of bacteria prefers the cooler parts of the body, it would affect his fingers and his toes, his hands and feet, his ears and his nose. The edges of our body would attack most. Ultimately, it would destroy his sense of feel. He couldn't feel his feet when he walks. So if he was going along and he would step on something, it would pierce his sandal. He wouldn't even know it until he would look down and see maybe blood coming out. He would never know if he burned himself. He would never know if he cut himself. Sorry for this, but this is true. You know, lepers, we'll talk about in a little bit, they ended up having to live in leper colonies. When they would go to sleep, rats would come and eat off their fingers because they wouldn't know. That's why when you see pictures in Ben-Hur or whatever, but you see pictures of a leper, they had rags around their fingers and their feet. It was for those reasons. It wasn't, they couldn't feel anything. It was just for protection. So just trying to give you a little glimpse of what this man was dealing with. All these injuries would never heal. They would just continue to get worse and worse as the days would go on. His bones would shorten, his tendons would tighten, and his hands would become more like claws. His feet would become more like claws. We have an issue in the nursery with the heat's not on today, so our children are with us, the little ones. So just bear with us. It's okay. From head to toe, he would be just an oozing sore. Ultimately, from 10 to 20 years, he would die. To die of leprosy was to rot to death. Now, if you go over into the parallel account in Luke, he tells us that the man here that we see in verse 40, he was at an he was full of leprosy, is what it says in Luke. So from head to toe, inside and out, his leprosy was very advanced, and he was very quickly approaching death. But the issue with leprosy didn't stop with the physical things. It also affected the person socially. Because the disease was both contagious and incurable, lepers were forced to keep their distance from those who didn't have leprosy. They could no longer go to religious gatherings. They could never go to the temple or to the synagogues. If he were to see someone approaching him out on the streets, he would have to yell out to them from a period of 100 yards and on in, unclean, unclean, to warn people to stay away from him. Because of that, a leper could never live in a city or around people. He had to live out in a leper colony where other lepers live. Worst of all, he could never touch a non-leper. Think of it this way. From the moment that he got this disease, he could never again touch his wife. He could never again touch his kids. Ever. And they could never touch him. It broke my heart when I was thinking about that. Think of that. You know, in our world, when somebody is getting an incurable disease, one of the things that's really cool about it is the way the family comes around the that person and is able to be there with them and you know, just hold them and comfort them and all the things that we bring to each other as we work through that kind of thing. How tragic. That's this man. And so, you know, if we're not careful, we read verse 40 and we just buzz right on. You know, okay, a leper comes to Jesus. Hopefully this gives you a little depth to who this guy is. He no longer was ever seen as being a human. He was only seen as being a leper. Nobody cared if he was an accountant. Nobody cared what his dreams were. Nobody cared what his life was like. Nobody cared if he had an education. Nobody cared. His identity was, from this point on, from the point he contacted this disease, you're a leper. That's it. Terrible, terrible disease. So here you have a terminal illness, and it's coupled with isolation. And both those things would begin to work on this man and would produce in him a real strong emotion. That's why in verse 40, we see this guy, out of desperation and hopelessness, fall down on his knees before Jesus and beg him there. See it? If you're willing. You can make me clean. So this dude's life is messed up. But he has a big question on his mind, doesn't he? You see the question? It's encapsulated in the words to Jesus, "If you're willing, you can make me clean." So this man, he's heard of Jesus. And when he comes to Jesus, he possesses an absolute confidence in the power of Jesus. He He knows that Jesus can heal him. But what he lacks, do you see what he lacks? He lacks the assurance that Jesus will heal him. And the fact that Jesus has the power to cleanse him does him no good at all if Jesus isn't willing to cleanse him. A God who is all-powerful is of no use to a leper if that power isn't coupled with a compassion that allows him to be willing to exercise that power on his behalf. Thus the leper comes to Jesus not questioning his power, but he's questioning his willingness. He's not questioning the greatness of his strong right arm, but he's questioning the greatness of Jesus' heart. The greatness of Jesus' compassion. That's what he's questioning. And I think that this may be the single greatest question that people have about God in their minds all throughout history, probably even into this room today. And we can believe that God is almighty, but we can potentially lack the confidence of God's love for me or God's love for you, the confidence of God's concern for you, the confidence of God's willingness to do anything with your life, the mess of your life. And here, how Jesus responds, lays to rest all that doubt and permanently should remove for each one of us that Jesus not only has the power to heal, but the heart to heal. He's got both, doesn't he? The power and the heart. As we go on down into 41 then Jesus, moved with compassion. Sorry. Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am willing, be cleansed. And so as Jesus looks upon this man, he's filled with compassion. But you know, I'm not sure. In fact, I'm almost convinced that there's more happening inside of Jesus than him just looking at this pitiful man that's before him. I think what broke Jesus' heart more than anything, I mean, can you imagine looking at that man, standing there and looking at that man? But I think what broke Jesus' heart more than what he saw in the man was the question the man had about who he was. He was wondering about Jesus, do you care for me? Jesus, do you care? Really? Does this matter to you? Do I matter to you, God? Am I important to you? Not just physically, but down in here where it matters the most. And both matter. But man, I'll tell you, what matters more is my heart. Do you care about my heart, God? Do you care? That I'm scared, I'm afraid, I'm lonely. All those things that we all deal with at certain levels. That's what he's wondering. I think that's what broke Jesus' heart more than anything. He says, I can't believe, why do you feel like that about me? Why do you wonder? Is that true of us? Do we sometimes wonder? Then this story is for us. Right there. We see Jesus' very clear answer to the man's question. I'm sorry. Out of that compassion, Jesus stretches out his hand and he touches the man. Do you realize this is the first touch this man would have had from a non-leper for maybe 20 years? And Jesus stretches out his hand. And he cleansed the man with the words, I am willing. He cleansed, and in one instant of time, not progressively, but instantaneously, he was restored to full health. His face restored instantaneously to its normal look. His hands and feet unclenched. His hair changed back to its original color. All of his sores were healed. And right there is Jesus' answer to the man's question. His answer to the leper and his answer to us right here this morning here is that he is not a God who only possesses the power to heal. But he possesses the heart. He not only has great power, he has a great heart. And the application for us, it goes way beyond leprosy, way beyond the physical need of a man or a physical need that we might have. The application reaches out into the spiritual realm. It reaches out into the greater affliction of man and the greater need of man. It has to do with sin. That's the area where man is most in need from a touch of God. And over again, in fact, every time when you read in your Bible, study it and find out for sure. But every time you read in your Bible, leprosy is used as a picture of sin. Every time. And it's interesting to note that whenever a leper is healed of their leprosy, it's never referred to as a healing. It's always referred to as a cleansing. Always. And the reason is because leprosy is a picture of sin. And sin is a condition that requires cleansing. The leper knew what he needed from Jesus. You see his question? If you're willing, you can heal me. He didn't say that. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Whatever you think you need from God, what you need most from God is a cleansing. To be cleansed from sin and the life that's lived for self. So here, let's buzz through and then we'll come back to the kind of land on this at the end. 43, and so Jesus strictly... 43, and he strictly warned him and sent him away at once. And he says to the guy, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go your way, show yourself to the priest, and offer for your cleansing those things which Moses had commanded as a testimony to them. So he tells the former leper to go to the priest to carry out the ceremony the law required when a leper was cleansed. And so Jesus did this first to honor the law of God, but also, and maybe even primarily, to give a testimony to the priests that an incurable disease had been cured. In the Old Testament, everyone knew that only God could heal a leper. So the reason that 44 is there is God's telling this guy, or Jesus, well, of course, Jesus is telling this guy, hey, go show the priests. Why? He wants those priests to know the Messiah is here. That's what he's trying to say to these people. The Messiah is in your midst. Right here I am. That's why he does that. He has to be a strong witness about the Messiah. And then the last verse, however, he went out and began to proclaim it freely and spread the matter so that Jesus could no longer openly enter the city but was outside in deserted places. And they came to him from every direction. So Jesus tells the guy, hey, don't tell people about this. Let's keep this a little bit quiet, because if word begins to spread about this, it'll limit the preaching ministry. And that's why I came. So the man may have meant well and may have thought he was helping Jesus, but his disobedience hindered the ministry of Jesus because Jesus could no longer go back into the city. So it's best just to obey Jesus. Never think that we have a better plan than him. Isn't it interesting, too, that you think about, he told the guy here, hey, be quiet, don't go tell anybody, and he went and told everybody. He tells us, hey, go tell everybody, and we're quiet and won't tell anybody. You know, it's kind of, wait a minute here, something's a little funky there. So this little story, this little four or five verses, is a picture of what Jesus has done for us in the cleansing of our leprosy called sin. And as willing as Jesus was to cleanse this man of his leprosy, he's just as willing to cleanse any person of their sin. And perhaps you're here today, and like leprosy, your sin's begun to take a physical toll on your life. Maybe it started small, just a few sores or on your back, and so you just never took your shirt off. And you could cover it easily. But now it's begun to take over your whole life. It defines you. It's who you are. It's what you are from head to toe, inside and out. And it's driven you into a life of isolation. It first drove you away from God, and then it drove you away from your family, and then it drove you away from your friends, it ultimately drove you away from healthy society. It's deformed you. It's become your identity. And like the leper, maybe you've come here today not doubting God's power to cleanse you, but maybe you doubt His willingness to cleanse you on behalf of what your sin has turned you into. And today, through this story, we see that Jesus has the heart to heal. The Bible declares that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It also declares that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So God's able to cleanse us. And He's more than able. He's willing to cleanse you of your sin. And you need to never doubt it again. It's one of the most impacting statements, I think, that Jesus ever said, right there at the end of 41, I am willing. Be cleansed. And so maybe you've never given your heart to Christ at all, and your sin is going to keep you from having fellowship with God. That's the issue, right? Does God still see your sin? And when you die, if God still sees your sin, then you'll forever be separated from Him. And so then maybe that's your issue. But also some of us, as Christian people, oh, we're going to heaven. We're going to be with God. But there's still sin. And maybe it's like the small sores on your back and no one knows, but it's still there. And it begins to define you. You know, sometimes I think of the big ones. You know, drug abuse or, you know, all the pornography. But what about doubt? What about the sin of doubt? What about the sin of fear? What about the sin of self-confidence? What about that sin? Those things are just as incapacitating. They still hinder God from working. You know, I grew up a country boy and loved it. Played in the creeks a lot. They say a lot about me. Beavers could block up the biggest flowing river. And I oftentimes think of God's stream that He wants to pour His blessings out and His Spirit out into my life as a channel between me and God. What are the things that are put in that path between you and God that are blocking God from moving in your life? What are those things? And when Jesus says to this man, I am willing, He's talking to you. But there needs to be a little bit of stepping back and saying, God, am I limiting? Is there sin in my life that's maybe a little more subtle? Okay, I don't look at porn. But what about those other things that are pulling me away? What about things like fear? And I don't trust that God, that you're going to help me when I need help. What about those things? I believe that God wants to heal us of those things. And He has to reveal those things to you. I don't know what those things are in your life. He's revealing those things to me. And it's hard to look at. And we were talking about a little bit yesterday in the men's time. About what repentance is. And how quick we can be to repent. Most of you know I referee. So yesterday I was refereeing. It was a high school game, and it was halftime. And so, you know, the referees go back in their little area, and the other guy I was with found out that I like to golf. And so we were talking about it, and I said, well, where do you like to play? And he says, oh, I play at Hawthorns, which is a really nice private club, and played at Crooked Stick, which is a nice private club. So he goes on and on about his elite kind of clubs. He turns to me and says, well, where do you like to play? I play at Old Oakland. You know, I lied. instead of telling him that, I play at Pleasant Run with my buddy Dennis, and I love it. Why would I make up a story that, I play at Old Oakland? I don't play at Old Oakland. Once a year, maybe, if Tom's compassionate to take me. But what happened there? I sinned. Why? I elevated myself in his eyes. I needed to show him that I'm like he is. I play at the big clubs, too. I have the Izod shirts. What is that? It's a sin. And what happens is, I don't recognize it as sin, and I go on my merry way, and maybe there's some sense of, maybe I shouldn't have embellished like that, but oh well. No, there's no oh well. It's wrong. It's wrong in the eyes of God, and I need to confess it. I need to repent of it. How quick are we as a child of God to repent of things like that? When we were in Mexico, one of us on the team had talked about how certain things she was needing to repent of as she went through her day. And she talked about some of the things. And I thought about, sorry, when I get excited, I get to coughing. I never thought about repenting of the fact that I hate throwing my toilet paper away in the trash can. And when I throw my toilet paper, when you do the number two in the dirty deed, you can't put it in the toilet. You got to put it in the trash can. It's like, I don't want to do that. God, I can't believe I have to do that. And, just in your heart, I never told anybody out loud, but in my heart, I thought, this is terrible. I never thought about the fact that I ought to repent to God of the fact that I had to take a cold shower that one day. And I grumbled in my heart about a cold shower. I should have been rejoicing I had water that came out of there at all. And I had a little thing of soap. Those are the kind of things that I wonder if those aren't just as strong a blocks in our channel between us and God, because we're unwilling to acknowledge the fact that I'm self-sufficient. And I need to repent of that. And I need to say, God, I'm sorry that there's times that I take ownership of my own things and my own ways, my own thoughts. So I just want to spend a little time today just praying and allowing God to reveal His heart for us. And my prayer would be that you could look at those two verses. I'm going to forget what the numbers were, 40 and 41 maybe, 41 and 42 maybe. Where are you in that? Lord, if you're willing, is that you? Well, then read on and know that God is willing. But He's a gentleman. And we need to come to Him and say, God, search my heart, oh God. Search my heart. Show me if there's anything in there. And give me a heart and a willingness to repent. And a desire to say to you, God, I'm sorry for those things that you're revealing to me that's hindering what you want to do in my life. Let's just spend a couple of minutes just waiting on God. God, thank you for the story today. And I just pray right now we would just settle. And I don't want to talk over this, Lord. I know that you're going to speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would hear from you. I'm thankful that you have a heart to cleanse. You have the power and the heart. I pray we'd be like this leper, God. I pray that this morning we'd see our need. And we'd be just like this guy, on our knees, begging you, God, please cleanse me of this. Cleanse me of my fear. Cleanse me of my doubt. Cleanse me of whatever it is that you show, God. Thank you, Jesus, that you came and died on that cross so that we could have time like this to have communion with you, that your Holy Spirit is here, that your Holy Spirit is always wooing us toward Jesus, always pulling us toward that cross. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would have His way right now in this place. Lord, I pray we'd give you permission to search even the hidden things. Lord, there's so many things that we potentially have tucked away in the little corners of our heart, the little corners of our mind. I pray right now, Lord, we'd give you permission to search those places. Because we know that you love us. Because we know that you want to cleanse us. Because we know that you want to set us free. And allow us to walk out into all that you have for us, Lord. I pray none of us would hold back now. Lord, we pray against what the enemy would want to do right now, Lord. We just pray in Jesus' name that you'd push all that kind of stuff aside. And that you, by your Holy Spirit, would just come, draw us right up into the very throne of God. We have communion today, so as we're waiting, let's pass it now while Eddie does this song, and then we'll spend some time.